Hi, David.
Hi, Megan. Welcome back.
Thank you. You too. So you just had a boat show in Port Townsend, Washington, right?
Yeah, there was a wooden boat festival out there, and my son had a wooden boat that's 100% solar electric that he had on the show there. We took people for rides. We brought it down from Anacortes to Port Townsend. Harriet and I took it back, and we got lost in the fog. It was really heavy fog.
No, wait, the boat was lost in fog?
The boat didn't care. I was lost in fog because the fog got really dense, and I had this chart plotter, and I was following the chart plotter and trying to avoid the shipping lanes because these big boats come through. And we were in ferry lanes, and so the ferries were coming, fog horns were blowing, and it was just a really difficult time.
Now, why were you out? This was just a test run, or were you trying to get from one place to another?
Yeah, we were trying to return the boat from Port Townsend, from the festival up to Anacortes, where it was going.
Oh, gotcha. And had people predicted the fog that you encountered?
Well, if they had, I didn't know about it.
But there it was.
There it was, quite thick. And boats would appear not very far in front of you out of the fog, and that was a little disconcerting.
So I'm sure Port Townsend has loud fog horns from the shore, though, right?
Not from the shore, from the ferry boats going back and forth.
Oh, okay.
To Whidbey Island.
Oh, okay. Wow. It sounds very beautiful, though, so an ocean sail.
Oh, coming down from Anacortes to Port Townsend was very beautiful because it was clear. You could see the shore on both sides, and it was just a gorgeous day, nice trip. It felt safe. You could see the boats long way away and avoid them, so that was great.
Now, this show had all wooden boats?
Yes.
Okay. I heard that, you know, I was recently in Ireland, and a sailor out there told me that most of the boats are made out of fiberglass. Wood is too expensive.
The expense in wood is not just the wood, it's the labor involved in making it. A huge amount of labor. Each piece of wood has to be shaped and then fitted to the boat and attached. And fiberglass, you have a mold and you just basically throw the fiberglass in and add some resin and you have a boat. It's a little more than that, okay, but that's much simpler than making a wooden boat with many, many, many wooden pieces.
Yes. And you and your wife, you know, you did the cold bend of the wood for which boat? Solar Sal.
Solar Sal was made that way. The 25-foot boat was made that way. The 44-foot boat was made that way. So that's the best way to make one-off boats because you just do it. To make a fiberglass boat, you have to first make a plug that's the shape of the boat you want. From that you make a mold. From the mold you now make the fiberglass boats. So it's a great way to make 10 or 100 boats, but it's not a good way to make one boat.
Well, you know, I'm just thinking, this is a slight digression, but connected at the same time, that you and I are Trojans, and I feel we're only a few blocks from the Hudson River right now. And I feel like when I first moved to Troy, I mean, I've lived in Troy a couple of times. This is my first cycle, my second cycle around Troy. But I feel like I was really connected to the river when I first moved back, but there's all the construction going on. So what do you think is going to happen to Troy's riverfront with all of the, we have the bolstering of the river wall, you know, for the storms that people are predicting, but what do you imagine Troy's waterfront will be?
Well, let's jump right in and hope for the best. I've mentioned before that three lifetimes ago, all transportation was walking, animals or sailing. And let's get back to the fact that water transportation is the best way to move goods, that rowboats are the pickup truck of the time, and that the Clearwater-type vessel was the 18-wheeler of the time. At the same time, the biggest, fastest way to go around was clipper ships. So that's all solar-powered, and perhaps in the next couple of generations, we will be going back to all solar transportation. And if you believe the statistics, about 95% of stuff that's moved around the world is moved by boat. So let's go back to that. That's the way it was three lifetimes ago, and maybe we can do it again with the Troy waterfront, which was very busy because of the Erie Canal, and move food to New York City from upstate using solar-powered boats, both electrically solar-powered and wind-powered.
Wow, you just got me thinking. What's the name of the passageway that has opened up due to global warming down by, you know, the really north passageway? What's the name of that?
Well, Northwest Passage was one name that people were looking for. Henry Hudson was looking for it when he came up the Hudson.
Yeah. No, it's just interesting. I wonder if transportation routes will change. I mean, technically, the Erie Canal connects to the Champlain Canal and the St. Lawrence Seaway. So I don't know. Yeah, it'll be interesting how history plays out. Do you think there'll be more traffic on the canals and the rivers?
Well, certainly if there's less traffic that's fossil fueled in the land, then certainly there will be more traffic on the waterways.
So do you, when you look out on the ocean, so even when you were, I guess you were in fog the last time you were out on the ocean.
Well, it's clear by afternoon.
But do you think about the life beneath you in the ocean and the ocean as this kind of mysterious part of planet Earth where life really begins?
Ah, great question. Life probably started with anaerobic bacteria. Anaerobic means they didn't run on oxygen, and they were around for, I don't know, some fraction of billions of years. And then about 2.5-3 billion years ago, these bacteria started making oxygen, and they were the cyanobacteria that could do photosynthesis, and that meant they were using sunlight, yay, sunlight, to live and produce energy, and they released oxygen at the same time. And that oxygen caused major changes in the planet. Oxygen combines with just about anything because of its electronic structure, and that means that it kills some things and it lets other things live. So yeah, that was a major change.
So can you give us examples of the life forms in the anaerobic period and then the immediate life forms in the aerobic period?
Let me see. I think that the stromatolites that you see in the western part of Australia are part of this anaerobic life form. I think they go back that far. But anyway, there are these bacteria still around, but most of life now is based on oxygen, and that's due to the cyanobacteria that changed the world. Have you been to the Grand Canyon?
No, but I'm dying to go.
Okay, well, there are parts of the Grand Canyon where the rocks are red, and do you know why they're red?
I would initially think mineral content, but no.
Yes. The iron in the rocks was oxidized into rust, and rust is what color?
Reddish.
Yeah, yeah. Right. So the red rocks are from the times when there was oxygen in the atmosphere to oxidize the iron and make the rocks red.
Yeah, so how does this, it does sound very much like biology, how does this distinction in oxygen life forms and pre-oxygen life forms relate to physics?
Oh, everything's physics. okay, so life is this strange thing that is self-replicating, and it takes energy to do life, and the energy really, when the Earth's atmosphere got oxygen in it, the energy came from the sun in the form of solar energy creating these plants, call them plants, they were very little, releasing oxygen. And that oxygen then allowed for other life forms to develop. Very early animals developed out of that. And evolution brought, I'm looking at a picture of a whale on your wall. Whales are mammals that were in the ocean. There were all kinds of reptiles on land. And out of all this mix evolved these things we call people.